Well, hello, Merry Band of Regulars. I am so excited to welcome a new sponsor to the show, MyPillow. You know Mike Lindell and the great work he's been doing, not just for the conservative movement, but providing American-made, high-quality products at amazing prices, and now they're part of our show as well. My family and I are no stranger to the great products at MyPillow, having enjoyed their bed pillows for many years now. But I'm going to tell you about one of the products I don't think you hear enough about. It's their dog beds. Our dog, Regular Kara, she's not been the easiest to please when it comes to giving her a bed that she actually will sleep on. Well, that's not a problem anymore. Since we got our MyPillow dog bed, she has been in dog heaven, enjoying great rest in her own special place. And right now, with code REGULARJOE, you can get them as low as $19.99 for your dog bed. Check it out. Go to MyPillow.com/REGULARJOE and make sure to use the code REGULARJOE to get your special discount. Hey, Regular Joe here to talk to you about wine. No, not what liberals do, but what people of class drink. Earth Labora, an online one-of-a-kind wine retailer, brings unique, high-end, sustainable wines and spirits from around the world to U.S. wine enthusiasts. One of these wines being offered for the first time and with an exclusive offer to the listeners of the Regular Joe Show are the wines of Via Caritatis Vineyards, made by Benedictine monks and nuns in France's Rhone Valley. These wines come from there directly to your doorstep with names such as Vox Red, Pax Red, and Lux Rouge. The roots of this wine can be traced back to the vineyard planted in 1309, and now wine lovers can experience them in the United States for the first time. To learn more and place your order, visit earthlabora.com. That's Earth, LABORA.com. Use code REGULARJOE10 to receive 10% off your purchase of these amazing Via Caritatis wines. Well, welcome back. Joe Gigante, you Regular Joe here with you on this Tuesday. Going to go right to the hotline. Joining us is Senator from the great state of Wisconsin, Ron Johnson. Good morning, Senator. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Joe. How about yourself?
Good. Good to hear your voice, and glad that we could actually get things connected. The last time didn't quite work as we had hoped. Now, there's a lot going on in Washington. We sit just under 100 days away from the next big election in our country. We have an administration that won't admit we're in a recession. They're calling a bill that will drive inflation up, an anti-inflation bill somehow. Can you explain to me what in the world is going on right now in our nation's capital?
Yeah, radical leftism. You have Democrats with the complicit and corrupt media backing them up, basically saying one thing, that if you know what they're going to pass is actually going to reduce inflation, when in fact it'll probably increase it, if anything. It certainly was true of their $1.9 trillion COVID relief package that I think sparked the 9.1% inflation. So, you know, we've got a real problem in this country when the media is pretty much in the back pockets of the Democrats, who are now radical leftists, people that want to fundamentally transform this country. And now we're seeing what that fundamental transformation looks like. Open borders, 41-year high inflation, record gasoline prices. They're down a little bit, but remember, when Joe Biden took office, the national average gasoline was at $2.39 a gallon. Now it's still well over $3, and who knows where it's going to go. This, and by the way, none of this stuff just happened. This is all the result of Democrat policies, and I would argue that their reconciliation package will be destructive as well. It's not going to be helpful. It's going to do more harm.
Now, I want to, on the question of the spending that's going on and what's happening there, I mean, Joe Manchin, I don't know a better way to put it, but he sold out on this particular thing. And there's this claim he keeps trying to say that, no, this is investment. Now, maybe I've missed something in basic economics and everything else, but when we're spending billions of dollars that we don't have, that's the first piece of it. It's money we don't have. It's by and large money going into government programs. And not to mention, there's a few other bills that are out there right now that all call for the expansion of more federal power, more money going into that. How in the world can he look at the American people straight-faced and not admit to the fact that this is going to make the problem worse and not better. Given his history, especially, he's been holding out for quite some time on this.
Because he can rely on a complicit and corrupt media to back him up. They won't challenge him on it. They'll just go right along, you know, with him like a bunch of lemmings, saying that all this massive deficit spending really is an investment, and of course, investment's good. Spending's bad, investment good, so they call it investment. And as a result, we have 9.1% inflation. I mean, that's how we got ourselves into this mess. We continue to get ourselves into this mess. Let's just take a look at the Veterans Burn Pit bill, okay? I fully support making sure that we cover veterans and we take care of
right.
those people that sacrifice and serve this nation. We all want to do it. But what the Democrats do is they put a completely extraneous provision in there that turns about $400 billion of discretionary spending into mandatory spending. They can fill that hole with another $400 billion of spending of money that we don't have, which would be further inflationary, further mortgage our kids' future. And so, you know, we say, no, we're not going to proceed to the final vote on this bill until you give us a vote on an amendment to end that provision. So, you know, we reduce the mortgage of our children's future. And, of course, the media, together with a person like John Stewart, just savage the GOP like we don't like vets. I mean, nothing could be further from the truth. The people playing politics with this burn pit bill are the Democrats, but the media makes it sound like, you know, Republicans are cruel and cold-hearted and we're not supporting vets. So again, nothing could be further from the truth. We want to support vets. We just don't want to keep mortgaging our kids' future.
Well, as a matter of fact, and just for the sake of the audience, now, when you talk about discretionary versus permanent, when it's discretionary spending, that means you approve it for now, for this budget, this year, this bill, but if it's going to be spent again, it has to come back up for a vote, versus permanent, where it's just, now it's there every year. And that's where, that's kind of the devil in the details that a lot of people don't realize. That's why it's so important that it not be listed as permanent, because then it's just money that's going to be added every year into that budget. Again, it's going to continue to be spent. It's going to continue to increase our debt.
Yes, and, you know, defense spending has always been discretionary. You know, VA spending is discretionary. What's mandatory are things like Social Security and Medicare. If you qualify for the entitlement, you just get it no matter what the cost. And our problem in this country is that more than 70% of our federal budget, of our federal spending, is all mandatory spending. It's on automatic pilot. You just don't do proper oversight. You don't get in there and fix the programs going bankrupt. It's just on automatic pilot. What we ought to be doing is we ought to turn everything into discretionary spending so it's all evaluated so that we can fix problems or fix programs that are broken that are going to be going bankrupt.
No.
Because, again, as long as things are on automatic pilot, we just continue to pile up debt. It's mortgage our kids' future. It's this massive debt burden combined with additional massive deficit spending that sparked this inflation that's wiping out people's wage gains, making it impossible for them to make ends meet. Again, it didn't just happen. I mean, the fact that you're struggling economically, it's because of Democrat governance and Democrat policies and the federal government that is spending way more money than it should and doing things that never was even envisioned by our founding fathers to be doing.
Well, and it seems, I mean, from a tone, just that alone, when you hear what comes out of the Biden administration as priorities, it seems to be in no way related to the reality that regular Americans, as you said, I mean, you know, again, I brought it up to the audience when it looked like gas was going to drop below $4 the first time. I said, don't celebrate from the point of view of, and sure enough, the White House tried to do this. They tried to look at all the great things we're doing. I said, take a moment to realize that we shouldn't be celebrating gas that's $3.99 a gallon. That's not a victory for Americans, especially when, as you said, it was at $2.37 when Trump left office. You know, my thing is, let's get it down to $2 a gallon. Then we can talk about celebrating. But that doesn't even seem to matter. There doesn't even seem to be, they talk about it, right? Well, they're doing their best to lower the prices and to make sure there's all these ability to drill wells. I just had a story earlier today where they're going to now do another environmental study, impact study in California, effectively shutting down all the open possible wells there, a Trump-era effort to open up more drilling in our country. So, again, it is truly Goebbels newspeak. They say one thing, but they're doing the exact opposite. We even see it with the border wall. They're completing part of it, or supposedly, in Yuma. But then you have Karine Jean-Pierre saying, we're not completing the wall. It's an ineffective use of taxpayer dollars. Well, wait a minute. You can't have both.
No, it's very Orwellian. I mean, how else can you describe it? Your words matter, and they hijack these words and completely use them, inappropriately in terms of what they're actually doing. But again, your listeners have to understand, this is their policy. This is the result they want. They want higher energy prices to force people into, for example, electric vehicles. Now, and by the way, completely ignoring the costs of the environmental costs of all the mining that's going to be required for the rare earth minerals and the copper for all their green energy programs. They just never do the calculations and realize, we're going to have to strip mine a whole lot more if we're going to actually achieve these goals, which, by the way, won't impact the climate hardly at all, because China's not going to follow these policies. India's not going to follow these policies. They'll still be spewing out the emissions from their coal-fired plants because they need to power their economies, and they're actually looking at reality. We're going to have to power our economy with fossil fuels for decades. I'm for an all-of-the-above energy policy and strategy, but it's got to be economically based, and we can't be forcing it before we're ready for it. And that's what the Democrats are doing right now, and they are as detached from reality as they are from the truth.
Well, I think I try to remember who it was. I heard somebody mention the other day that if we switched everything over to what's currently available in terms of alternative energy, it would run the world for like 70 seconds, and then we'd be completely depleted. And it puts it in stark reality. Again, if they can create alternative sources of energy that work, that are readily available, that aren't just, again, masking it, because where are these electric cars getting their electricity? Well, by and large, most of it's being generated through fossil fuels. So you're not really accomplishing any goal. If they can do that, great. But I would say we're at least 30 to 50 years away from even coming close to anything like that. In the meantime, we need to have, we're an energy economy. We need to have access to cheap, effective energy so that we can do everything that we need to continue to keep our country to thrive.
And people really need to ask, what is the environmental impact of the production of all these batteries, the production of all this green energy? How much fossil fuel is going into that? What are we going to have to do in terms of mining? I've read some unbelievable figures, but I think they are believable. I just have to verify them before I start spouting them on the radio like this. But it's unbelievable how much more we're going to have to mine in order to accomplish these goals. And you realize how difficult it's to get a permit to mine anything in America now, which is why almost all this stuff comes from China. I mean, you realize most green energy production comes from China. They will control our future. So again, you people aren't really understanding the true reality. That's why I keep calling it a green energy fantasy. It's a fantasy that this is going to be achievable, and it's going to achieve the results they keep spouting. I just don't believe it.
Well, and one of the things that I think need a bigger question that needs to be answered, certainly I would hope if we can win back the Senate and the House, that this is one that could be tackled early on, which is, I refer to it as, we need a pretty thorough divorce from China right now, whether it's a messy divorce or not. And I don't mean militarily when I say messy, but right now, I mean, what is it, 70% of all ibuprofen that is consumed in our country is produced out of China. I mean, everything, people don't realize the depth and breadth of how dependent everything we do is on China right now. And as we saw with COVID, that's a very bad place to be, especially when they're not exactly a country that is in deep love with us, that wants to do well by us. I would say it's pretty clear they're adversarial to us, and for our own good, we need to start producing things, or at least sourcing them out of places that are not avowed communists that want to do damage to our country.
Now, we uncovered our vulnerability when it comes to pharmaceutical in a roundtable I had in February of 2020, just as the pandemic was starting, where we found out just the vast majority of precursor chemicals, they call them intermediates, the basic chemicals, come out of China, something like 90-some percent. and then the active pharmaceutical ingredients from China and India. And so we are completely dependent on those countries for our pharmaceutical ingredients. And so, you know, I've been pointing that out, been trying to get Congress to react to it. We passed a $1.25 trillion infrastructure bill. You think we'd address that at all? No. You think we address that in the China bill here? No. Again, this place is insane. It is Washington, D.C. itself is so divorced from reality that it's so grossly frustrating, Joe. I just can't tell you how frustrating it is.
Well, I can understand you've been in the trenches. Well, we've got to hit the break. When we come back, I want to, one of the hallmarks, I think, of you being in the Senate these past 12 years, and I think for the next 6 years, is that you don't take this sitting down, though. You get out and you fight back. One of the ways you're doing that now is with your site, wisfacts.com. I want to talk about that when we get back. Plus, you may not be aware, but there's been an announcement of a kind of a surprise challenger, courtesy of Mandela Barnes, I want to inform you about.
The Regular Joe Radio Show.